Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on CSN. Going to turn our attention to the Redskins' next opponent. By the way, Redskins at 1-1 are tied with the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles at 1-1, and the Giants are now 0-2. They've scored one touchdown in 2 weeks. Dreadful offensive performance on Monday Night Football.
Good.
So the Redskins' position is okay in this division.
Yeah, so far. But look, they're staring 1-3 in the face. We got to find a way. Craig, you can help us with this. They got to find a way to steal one of these next two.
Yeah, but you know what? When we were thinking that Dallas getting Zeke back would maybe run away with the division, now I think, isn't there going to be another court deal? Is it today?
I thought they denied the motion yesterday.
There's one more pending.
Yeah. Still one more? Okay.
There's like one more appeal. So who knows what's going on there? The coach is talking to Zeke. Dak is throwing pick sixes.
I always thought there
Jason
would be a
Garrett
regression.
Jason Garrett threw Dak under the bus, which Jason Garrett is the most. Like, if you think Jay Gruden can be boring at the podium, I covered Garrett for 2 years in Dallas. He at the podium is abysmal. Like, it's so vanilla. He never says anything. So the fact that he came out and was fairly ticked at Dak, he must, A, know Dak can take it, and B, like, really, really be upset. There's drama down there, which is not unusual, but for it to be on the field drama, I think is.
But I don't even really worry that much about other teams in the division, because I don't think anyone's going to run away with it. You got to handle your own business,
right?
And that's what the Redskins got to worry about, right?
All right. So the deal is that the NFC East plays the AFC West this year, and the AFC West may be the best division in football. The Chargers are 0-2; they could easily be 2-0. You've got the Broncos. Trevor Siemian's playing well. You've got the Chiefs and the Raiders, who are the next two opponents for the Redskins. Let's talk about this Raiders team. People who play fantasy football know Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree.
But that's just
prolific
the start.
Passing offense.
That's
right.
Just the start. I watched their game back yesterday, and they're playing the Jets, so they're going to look good because the Jets are not. But they have guys everywhere. I mean, Cooper and Crabtree are probably as good of a starting receiver duo as you can find. They don't necessarily have the star power, but I think everyone around the league realizes how good those guys are. Crabtree, 3 touchdown catches last week. You want to go see how to run a fade, go watch the ball
he's the guy.
Picked.
He's the gold standard.
Yeah, go watch the ball he picked off of Buster Screen last week, and a great throw by Carr as well. Amari Cooper's filthy, as good of a route runner as we have in the league. But they're running backs, too, and they're using Cordell Patterson, the old Vikings return guy, as a running back
this
year.
Yeah, I saw he had a carry or two.
He had a couple, and one of them was, a 49-yard touchdown. It was a 40-something-yard touchdown.
He's clearly not like a wide receiver one or two, but he's a gimmick guy that you can put in that offense, and every once in a while you see a spring of big play.
Yeah, and they used him as a straight running back.
Who's their coordinator? Do we know?
I don't remember who their OC is. Obviously, Del Rio is their head coach and kind of coordinating their defense, but that's on top of Marshawn Lynch, who's starting to really find his form and looked pretty good last week. He's powerful, is ridiculously hard to bring down still. And this kid, Jalen Richard, who is just a lightning bolt out of the backfield. He is so fast, just running away from guys on multiple carries last week. They've got talent all over the place, and their line's not bad. Carr's obviously great as a quarterback.
They were 12-4 last year.
Yeah.
And they were 12-4 with an average defense at best.
And they brought everybody back and added. It's gross. And then defensively, they've got some really good players as well. Their pass rush is really, really good. I think the way to beat them is similar to the way you beat the Rams. You got to run it. You got to shorten the game. And you can't let Bruce Irvin and Khalil Mack just tee off on Kirk. That's a formula for disaster.
I don't know if we can pull that trick off 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, you don't sound very confident after that breakdown.
Did you see? It was maybe a little different. You know, we talked about this yesterday as we were kind of recapping the game. With the quick passing attack, you didn't really see as much of, you know, Morgan Moses on an island. What did you see from the offensive line?
I mean, I thought they were good. I mean, I got to go back and watch the tape, obviously, and I'll have a much better idea of how they pass protected.
There weren't deep drops off
right,
in the game.
Right. The longer developing plays, they struggled.
Yeah, they did. And that's in part, again, because the Rams' pass rush is really good. Robert Quinn, Michael Brockers, these guys were really good. But what the Redskins did a really great job of was using that aggression against them. I mean, the Chris Thompson 61-yard touchdown, that's a draw play. Mm-hmm. And Michael Brockers fired off the ball and was almost at Chris Thompson when he got the handoff. But that's the worst place you can be on a draw play because now you got a fast guy running the other way through a giant hole. And the two guys that were, you know, let him by basically, oh no, we lost. It's a draw play. Trick's on you. Now you're up on the second level getting blocks before Chris Thompson even has the ball. So you're blocking linebackers, and that's how you're able to get that kind of a big play. So you can do the same thing again, but you do have to, you would think, eventually establish some kind of play action game at the very least in some of the longer developing pass plays. And that's where they just got to hold up one-on-one and not miss assignments and then execute the assignments they have. I thought Moses was way better this week. I loved getting Moses and Brandon Sheriff out in space.
He has a bad ankle, right?
Yeah, but still, if you let him hit him get out in space, he's way better than trying to block in a box. And that's kind of what they did in week one. A lot of the power plays up front. Let those guys get in space. And this goes for the screen game as well. Get these guys out in space. Let them maul people. It's how this offensive line was built. And I think you're going to see a lot more success. And I think a similar game plan is actually probably the best way to go this week.
Now, on the injury front, good news on Reed and Kelly, right?
Yes. Kelly was kind of surprising. They had thought he had a rib fracture. It's some kind of sprain or something. And he's going to be day-to-day.
They said like a cartilage thing.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, cartilage issue, not an actual cracked rib. So he's going to be day-to-day, might play this week. If not, I have confidence in Mac Brown, and I know they do too. And I just think Mac's a really good runner. If he's got to play, then so be it. But Kelly was
so most likely
good
they'll
last
keep
week.
Chris Thompson in the role that he's
maybe
been
expanded
at
a little bit. He could get a few
carries,
more carries
and then coming out of the backfield,
know, 6-7 targets. Yeah, and then Samaje Perine will get the rest. And then if Mac Brown is active, they'll obviously rotate. If Kelly's active, then he'll get the start and probably the Lions' share of the carries. But yeah, so I think that you get those guys rotating there. On the rest of the injury front, Josh Norman has an AC sprain, which is a shoulder joint. So does Monte Nicholson. They're both day-to-day. Reed has an SC joint sprain, which is basically where your collarbone meets your sternum. And that's day-to-day. So they're getting the day off yesterday. They have the day off today. They'll practice some tomorrow. My guess is those guys might be limited a little bit, but I think by Sunday they'll be ready to play a full complement of snaps.
That'd be huge.
Right now, the Raiders' defense is middle of the pack.
Within,
we all know
I would
the
consider
worst
that
defense
as with inflated stats because playing the Jets tends to do that for you defensively.
Right.
If you had to pick the two, so then we have the Raiders, which just seems so daunting, and then the Chiefs. I mean, they're firing.
No treat.
Which one of the two is the we have a better chance of stealing on paper?
It's tough. I think the Raiders are a better team, but Kansas City on Monday night in primetime at Arrowhead, luck with that.
I'm sure that it's an absurd record. I don't have
Arrowhead,
the splits in front of me.
Arrowhead's one of the best stadiums I've ever been to, and I was there when the Chiefs stunk. But they are, that place is going to be on fire, especially if they are 3-0 looking to go in 4-0. Because they're a good football team, they've opened up their playbook a little bit. They got playmakers. Alex Smith is willing to throw the ball more than 5 yards, which is a neat trick. And defensively, they're really, really good too. I think the good thing about how the game played out on Sunday is I think the Redskins have confidence now they can win like that. Mm. Hey, look, we can run the ball and we can win. That's going to be necessary the next couple of games. Because you're not going to have time to air it out. The pass rushes you're facing are just too good.
I feel, though, we've seen this song and dance before where the Redskins will pop running the football for a game or two. Even last year, there was a three-game stretch where Matt Jones ran for over 100 twice.
Is Gruden patient enough to stick with
that
game
after
game?
If it keeps working, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're racking up wins.
I mean, we asked him after the game. I think it was Mike asked him after the game. Jones from the Post goes, why'd you keep going? And he goes, success. Why would I stop?
But here's the thing. They're going to see the tape. They're going to add guys. They're going to do whatever they can to stop that. It's going to be how we adjust to that.
Sure. And that's where your play action game and your quick game, and there's all kinds of ways you can do that. The screen game, you get super aggressive upfield, and the Redskins will kill you too. And that's why a play like the Jameson Crowder play is so important. If you have that threat of, if we go too far upfield, we're going to have the ball thrown over our heads and a guy running all over the place, then there's only so aggressive you can be. So it's fine. That's why balance is so important to keep a defense guessing. as opposed to letting them be the aggressors in attack. And Jay, I thought, was brilliant as a play caller on Sunday, and he's going to have to continue to do that.
What have you seen out of Jonathan Allen so far?
He's been fine. I don't think he was anything special in week one. I don't have a great read on how he was in week two. I mean, obviously the defense.
I don't think Charlie was impressed, right?
I feel like we had Charlie on. He's a rookie. He's played two games. I was expecting more. Like, give me a sack or two.
I know it's a big play.
I know it's a position where it's tough to get sacks.
Yeah, especially in that 3-4, it's hard. He's had some pressures. He's made some nice plays against the run.
I'm not looking
for
sacks.
He's also gotten washed a couple times. So
I want some tackles behind the line of scrimmage. That kind of
stuff. Just notice him watching the game. I haven't really noticed him.
Yeah, he hasn't popped. I think is about as good as I can say for right now. He didn't flash that much on Sunday, if at all. I have a better answer for you later in the week.
I did see that they said that they're likely to give Gallette more snaps.
Yes.
So they're building kind of confidence in Gallette. This is kind of what they want to do with Doxson, I guess.
Yes.
See more in the practice field, see more on the field, and then you're going to get more work.
No, that's exactly what they want to do with both of those guys. And I think Gallette has shown himself to be more than a pass rush specialist, and that's been the really encouraging thing. There was a play on Sunday where he gets upfield and the ball goes the other way. He gets blocked, and he just, like a sideline to sideline middle linebacker, he's there on a big, giant gang tackle. His speed, not just as a pass rusher and explosiveness there where he's getting some good rushes and some pressure, but his ability to play the run has been, I think, a very pleasant surprise, at least for me, and I'd assume on some level for the coaches too. I don't think they knew exactly what they were getting with him because they haven't seen him play in 2 years, and lo and behold, he's been a good, complete linebacker.
It's Craig Hoffman. You can follow him on Twitter, @ Craig Hoffman. Thanks for stopping by.
Keep it simple.
Coming up next, we'll talk some college football. Houston Nutt will join us, former coach.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.